Hi, this is Richard Garfield with The Game Glimpse, where I drone on and on about a game that's on my mind. I'll tell you what interests me in the game, and perhaps tie that into games in general. Maybe I'll tell a story from my experiences. But for now, let the droning begin. Today I'm going to talk about Catacombs, which was designed by Ryan Amos, Mark Kelsey, and Aaron West, publisher Sands of Time Games. Catacombs is played with 2 to 5 players, although it's best with 5. One person plays the Dungeon Master, or I guess they call it the Catacomb Lord. The others are the Adventurers. So thematically, it's like a game of Dungeons and Dragons. The mechanics are very different, though. The mechanics involve, of all things, flicking discs. So it might remind one of Crokinole, the game which I glimpsed last week. The game is constructed of a series of challenges. Each challenge is like a scenario in a role-playing game. You flip the card up, it tells you what room you're in and what monsters you're facing. The players set their pieces up first, one puck for each of the characters, and then the Catacomb Lord sets up the monsters, and then the players take their turn, and then the monsters take their turn, and you repeat until all of one side is dead, usually the monsters, and then you proceed to the next room. After a bunch of rooms of generally increasing difficulty, you meet the boss monster, and if the players defeat the boss monster, they win, otherwise the Catacomb Lord wins. The mechanics of the play itself generally revolves around a player flicking their piece to another place on the board. If they hit an enemy piece, then they deal damage to that piece. Generally, one damage is dealt, and that's sufficient to kill a lot of the monsters. Some of the monsters you flip over, and they have another side, so they have effectively 2 hit points. And then the players and the boss have more hit points, and they actually have hit point tracks. Each of the characters has one or more special abilities, and many of the monsters have a special ability. For example, the elf has 2 arrows, which she can flick. Arrows are represented by little yellow discs, much smaller than the player discs. And you can flick those, and it doesn't move your character. And they can go through tighter spaces. They're lighter. They don't move other pucks as much. So they just generally behave differently than flicking the character itself. You can stay back in safety, so to speak. The thief collects extra gold when she defeats an enemy, and the wizard has just a lot of different spells, which each spell can be used once. I don't know, there might be about a dozen spells. Monster abilities include things like stunning the player for a turn upon a successful hit. That's the ghoul, I believe. Skeleton archers have arrows like an elf, but they have an unlimited number. And centaurs can move doing a melee attack and then use their arrows. Playing Catacombs is really fun. I don't usually use such non-technical terms and hard-to-define things, and it's probably not true for everybody, but it's got a really nice combination of physical skill, strategy, tactics. There's plenty of luck because the obstacles on the board send the pucks flying in pretty random directions. The teamwork in the game of the party is, for me, much more satisfying than a lot of teamwork games. In many teamwork games, you can have one person who makes decisions for everybody. And when you're just playing cards or a board game, that can disengage the other players. But in a game like this, any game with sort of with a physical component, no matter how the team decides things are going to go, you are going to be the one flicking your piece. You are going to have to be the one who decides whether flicks are too risky or not. And yours is the glory for a successful flick, and yours is the shame for a catastrophic flick. One important technique in the game is using your discs not to damage the opponent, but to move around friendly discs. The thief is particularly good at this. The thief has a special ability that when her first hit misses the enemy, that is, doesn't deal any damage, she gets a second shot, which doesn't deal any damage, but can be used to escape. Using that ability, she can shove, for example, the warrior into a more advantageous position, or push somebody to safety, and then run to safety herself. Just like in Crokinole and Pool, your leave is important, that is, where you leave your pieces. bunched up warriors are subject to being hit multiple times by the same monster. The Catacomb Lord also has to be careful of this. Bunching up his monsters is a similarly risky move. Here are some examples of the sort of strategic decisions which I've enjoyed in our games. Should we hold back and shoot arrows and spells down at the monsters, or should we charge among them? Which monster is the most dangerous threat? Can we knock that out, and what's the cost? Should the wizard teleport the barbarian in among the enemy so he can use his powerful rage ability, or should we save that for a later room? The thief has found herself in a catastrophic position. Should the wizard teleport the thief away, or save it for a later room? The warrior is nearly dead. Should we have him hang back and not contribute so much to the fight in order to keep him alive, or should we risk him dying? If we take this slightly riskier shot, we can allow the thief a chance to kill a couple monsters. This will generate more gold for the party. Is it worth doing? And an interesting decision for the Catacomb Lord. Should I deal more damage to the party overall, or less damage, but focused more on one player? And should I expose this skeleton to tempt the players into making what I regard as an unwise shot? Catacombs is begging for expansion and customization. I find it surprising how much I've talked about this game and still haven't described so many of the aspects of it. The game only comes with something like 8 items, which you can purchase with your characters, yet the variety that provides is huge. The items are very exciting. There are also lots of different types of monsters. Players are going to want to see a lot more characters, a lot more items, a lot more monsters, and probably just different modes of play, different styles of play, like ones where there's actually a map rather than just a series of cards. My understanding is the first expansion is going to be out pretty soon, so some of that will be satisfied. And I always also encourage players to take ownership of their game and make variations that they like. So certainly we will be creating our own magic items and monsters and so forth. My friend Andrew Gross, who introduced me to this game, has taken this customization to a degree which most players probably won't go to, but may be worth it, and certainly exciting to look at. He's actually purchased squares of tiling from Home Depot. I think it was Home Depot, I don't know. And constructed larger boards because the original boards feel a little cramped. And the idea of having a little more room to have your battles on was exciting to us. His idea was that not only would the boards be better, but might have different textures so that you might get some rooms with like a pebbled background and things like that. And the bumpers are bigger. And the bigger bumpers, I think, for at least beginners, make it so that it's easier to get coherent ricochet shots. And he's got a big lazy Susan so that you can actually rotate the board rather than constantly get up and move around to take your shot. I'm not usually into construction of this nature. I'm not one who paints miniatures or puts together miniature landscapes or anything like that. Stick to making functional, pretty good prototypes of my own games and then playing other people's games as they're presented. But I must admit, I'm tempted by this because his boards do play very well and they don't look all that hard to make. If you're interested in seeing exactly what Andrew did, I think he's posted his boards on BoardGameGeek. Games with radically asymmetric sides like Catacombs are often hard to balance. Catacombs addresses this issue in a pretty soft way. They instruct the Catacomb Lord to try to win, but also instruct them that they are responsible for the other team having fun, which I think is meant to be interpreted that you don't play it to the hilt if you can make the players, if you can crush the players, but slack off a little bit or play a little more casually or take some crazier shots or maybe even role-playing the monsters and charging with the trolls, not because it's the smart thing to do, but because they're trolls. I think different play groups will find what works for them. I've played the game about half a dozen times. Andrew ran most of those games and was always good about not crushing players who didn't know exactly what was going on yet, which I think was good. But as players, we often found that we felt we were further behind than we were because we were saving so much of our firepower. For instance, the first game where we were absolutely in the worst shape of any of our games, both because of our lack of skill and because we were up against a particularly evil set of dungeons, we tripped into the last room and then killed the Medusa, I think, in one turn. I was Catacomb Lord once, and I ended up winning, which Andrew claimed proved that I was meaner than he was, which might be true. But the game I ran was pretty interesting. I was doing what he wasn't doing, which was attempting to kill the players more, because I wanted to see how that would affect things. Even though I did manage to kill a character early, and in the last room wiped the party, when they went into the last room, I thought it could have gone either way. They had a couple really serious misfires. Their chain lightning did nothing. They hardly got a thing with their rage, and pretty much just everything went my way. I'm guessing that, except for new players, playing the Catacomb Master pretty hard may be okay. Like, if you do actually manage to wipe the party out early, then you have a shorter game and you play again. This isn't nearly as bad as if the players are overpowered, which against some of the dungeons I felt like they were, because there you have to play through the whole thing. There's no such thing as a party wiped and the game early. And so the Catacomb Lord has to suffer through room after room of player domination. Obviously, if it's a party wipe every time, then something's wrong with the balance and that has to be addressed. In any case, there's no chance there's going to be a one-solution-fits-all answer to balancing this game. There's just too much going on, too much variation in skill, too much variation in the power of the pieces and the combos and things like that. Playgroups are going to have to solve some of these problems themselves and figure out good ways to handicap or to strengthen a particular side. I'm sure that as a community develops around the game, there'll be lots of tools given. We've talked about, in certain circumstances, reducing all the hit points for the adventurers by 1 point and adding extra rooms and lowering the amount of gold to handle the party being too powerful, which I regard as the more dangerous of the problems. If this sounds interesting to you, you may have some difficulty finding the game. It's been really hard to find a date because it sold out really quickly last year. I still don't have a copy myself. I believe there's another print run coming soon at about the same time the expansion is coming out. I don't know whether that's a matter of days or months before it's out, but I'm looking forward to it. And now it's time for the kids' turn. Who was really good at the game?
The guy who bought it. That person whose name is, I don't know, remember. Person. Andrew. Right.
And how about on the hero side, who was really good?
I remember Mons being really good. Who was the wizard? Rob, he was good.
You do realize you just named everybody but you and me. What was the coolest piece of equipment, Skylar?
Coolest as a name, look, or power.
How about as the name?
I don't remember any names.
Okay, how about a look?
Don't remember.
Okay then, how about power?
Coolest in power as in strongest, or just like the ninja and magical athlete? That's cool power. Do you mean like that?
Dude, whichever.
The spy knife, the throwing axe, the familiar, and the enchanted bow.
Really? There's only like 8 pieces of equipment in the whole game, and you just named 4 of them. And that's it. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Game Glimpse. Feel free to leave any comments you have. If you want to suggest any games, you can do that too. Maybe your game will be the next one I glimpse. You know, people can't see when you nod.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.